It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back Steve Barnes, who is the Hong Kong Visa Geezer, one of our sort of monthly chats. And the deal is, Steve knows what he's talking about. Any questions you have, simple questions, you might have just moved here, you want to get your partner employed or whatever it might be, drop me a line, morningbrew@rthk.hk. Good to see you.
Drum roll included. Here I am, Phil. Good to see you again.
You missed that before. It's brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cracking. Listen, we often talk about people coming from the mainland and this, that, and the other. But, you know, it's the time of the year. School holidays just finished. People graduated a couple of months ago. And it must be a terrifically difficult time for getting a job for people. So what do? They try and go and work in other countries.
Yeah, indeed.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
If people want to come here. There's tons of jobs, talented Aussies or whatever could be doing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, under the general employment policy, if you can show that you're a, quote, a professional, unquote.
Stop. How do we do that?
Well, the Immigration Department prescribe it by insisting that you have, you be a graduate and that you have 2 years of post-graduation work experience in a supervisory or managerial capacity.
I want to be a little clearer. I'm talking about people who are very skilled, but they don't have that. It's like getting an equity card. You can't do it unless you've been a pro actor. You can't be a pro actor unless you've got an equity card.
Well, if we're talking about fresh graduates, then. Okay.
Decent ones, though, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, the reality is that if you come to Hong Kong as a fresh graduate, foreign national fresh graduate, and you want to secure employment visa permissions here, you're going to struggle because, naturally enough, the Immigration Department are going to protect local jobs for local graduates, right?
Yeah, I suppose they are the ones that, you know, this is a real big area, isn't it?
Unless, of course, you are a very, very profound, sophisticated employer in Hong Kong, and you employ thousands, if not tens of thousands, of local people, and you have a desire to recruit a fresh graduate from overseas. In those circumstances, given that you are a significant local employer already, usually the Immigration Department don't second-guess the decision of management in those circumstances for the employment of a fresh graduate from overseas.
See, Steve, the thing is here, when the Immigration Department, from what you've told me in the past, decides who can and who cannot work here, you know, the right skills, but they don't get the concept of, this is the guy I want. For me, he's perfect.
Sometimes, that's true. Sometimes, I'd say 1% of the time, we struggle to persuade the Immigration Department of the specific merits of a particular individual, although that individual will typically qualify as a professional under the general employment policy.
Yeah.
Where the Immigration Department dig their heels in is if they genuinely believe, rightly or wrongly, that those skills can be found locally.
Well, of course,
then
they can mostly be found. But, you know, my point was very clearly, the employer, sophisticated, as you said, says, this guy, I really want them. They fit into my matrix perfectly.
And that's a fair point.
Is that a flaw?
No, it's not a flaw. It just means that the person who's responsible for making that application needs to be able to carry that argument forward to its successful conclusion, and that means educating the examining officers as to the reality of the unique nature of those particular skill sets and why it should be that individual and not a local person.
Let's look at a case in point. It's documented very heavily in the news. The government, in its wisdom, decided it wanted local domestic helpers.
Yeah.
No one wanted to do it.
Yeah.
That fund is just aching to be spent.
Yeah.
So, you know, QED.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I think the issue there is that the government have got sort of, you know, social policy issues to think about, and if it's the right thing to do to earmark, you know, a particular pie in the sky type initiative and fund it and say, look, let's try and sort of localize this activity, then go for it. But if market pushes back and says, no, this is not going to work, then, you know, we get the result as you've just described.
So basically, it's a kind of a numbers game. I mean, they may say yes.
Who, the Immigration Department?
Yeah.
And they won't say yes for just for the sake of saying yes. You've got to have an argument. You've got to carry it forward. And
arguments are good, though.
Well, that's what we do for a living, right?
All right, then. Let's bring it back to where we started. Seriously, though, let's assume you've got your graduate with his MA or PhD, 2 years of something, wants to come here. Let's just, don't speak to me now. Speak to that person. What would you tell them?
Make sure that you get a job offer in a field that is commensurate with your qualifications and experience. Make sure that the salary that's offered to you is commensurate with market rates. And
I don't think that's going to be an issue, because if you want to come to Hong Kong, you want to come to Hong Kong, and you're likely to take one for the team in order to get the job.
To a degree, but you still have to, there's still a minimum threshold that the Immigration Department expect to see for the purposes of the general employment policy. But also remember, if the prevailing market rate is significantly higher than the minimum amount the Immigration Department expect to see, then if that market rate isn't being paid, the Immigration Department will just perceive this as being an opportunity for an employer to get somebody in cheap to do the job, because what they really should be doing is paying the same sort of money to a local person to do that job.
But that's interesting, Steve. I mean, you said they really should be paying the same sort of money to a local employee. But why? I mean, you know, we'd like to think so, but really, why?
Well, what you've got to try and avoid in the application to the department is this idea that somehow the salary that you're paying to this foreign expert, if you will, is levied at such a rate as to preclude anybody locally who's qualified from doing the job actually taking it up. That is, you're basically bringing people in on the cheap. Immigration policy is set up to capture those types
of workarounds. But that's probably usually in, you know, I'm not saying unskilled labour, because it isn't. Restaurant work, waiting, da-da-da, that kind of stuff.
Right,
where they get shafted.
Yeah, but there is, you see, those types of positions are not deemed to be professionals for the general employment policy. The way that you import foreign skills to be able to fulfil those roles is to use the supplementary labour scheme, the importation of labour policy.
Right.
And that gives you then an opportunity to test the market to see if those skills are available or not, and if after that market testing exercise, the results come back nil, then you can approach the Labour Department, and then you say to the Labour Department, I want to bring in this number of workers for these types of positions. These types of positions are allowed under the current list. And then, if the Labour Department sign off on it, you go out and recruit those foreign skills, and then you take the applications with a certificate under the importation of labour scheme to the Immigration Department, and then they'll issue the visas. But visas issued under those programs, the time that you spent under importation of labour scheme doesn't qualify for continuing ordinary residence for the purposes of the right of abode after 7 years. Mm. And there's an absolute maximum amount of time that you can spend in Hong Kong on that program, and that's 2 years, and then you're gone.
All right, let me just put a little B plan in here. How easy is it to get a working student visa? We'll come back to this in a second. Is there such a thing?
If you're a student in Hong Kong and you want...
No. You're an overseas student.
Yeah.
You're kind of doing that half work, half study kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, if it's...
Yeah, you can potentially get a training visa for up to, say, 3 months as an intern. That's possible. And if you're from a certain country, I think 6 or 7 of them now, Italy, Korea, Australia, Ireland, I believe, Canada too, you can get a working holiday visa. So you might be able to complete your sort of work study objectives.
There are ways around
those programs, yeah.
So when you go to them, you want to do it all officially and above board.
Yeah.
Do they say, right, let me see your degree? And then do they want to know your entire education and all the work?
Absolutely.
Right,
yeah.
But you know what? In some instances in Hong Kong, they create a rod for their own backs, because when government departments look at your qualifications, they will say, give me your transcripts.
Right.
Well, if you were born before a certain time and in a certain country, what the heck are transcripts? You didn't do transcripts.
Yeah, but
you had degree, you had your O-levels or whatever, and it's not all done on the American system.
Right, but I think you find most universities today, when they issue graduate qualifications, they
they do, Steve.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's 21, 22 years ago since I graduated. I was a late developer, and I can get my transcripts. So you know, we're going back half a generation now. Well, we're a full generation now. You can get transcripts.
Well, you studied in England, right?
Yeah.
Right. See, I mean, that's some of these things are given to you. Right, here it is. This is what we want. And you say, yeah, but we didn't do this. We don't care. This is what we want.
Okay. Well, in terms of what they perceive to be areas of study that they believe are germane to you being able to uptake that work.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair enough. If the Vocational Training Council, typically the Vocational Training Council have advised the Immigration Department that in order to fulfill this particular line of work, you need to have this kind of study in your background, then the Immigration Department can definitely sort of hold a gun to your head and say, no, you haven't got it, so you can't come in.
I'm talking about the way we studied. Now, look at in Hong Kong now, a lot of guys are doing IB instead of A-levels and O-levels.
Yeah.
Now, it's like me saying to you, okay, Steve, give me your IB scores, but I didn't do IBs. I don't care. Give me your IB scores. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but again, you see, for the purposes of the general employment policy, you need to be a graduate. So what happened prior to getting to university isn't relevant.
Oh, you reckon?
No, it's not. Okay. Unless you went to Eton, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's quite an interesting thing. And what I'm coming to here, and I'm speaking very generally, is that every time a government department wants to ask you a question, you can add an extra 3 weeks. And then 3 weeks, and then there's another.
Oh
three
yeah,
weeks.
I mean that goes with the territory. However, again, you know, I have to be absolutely scrupulously fair to the Immigration Department. They have their performance pledges that they need to meet.
Oh, silly me!
They have their performance pledges to meet, and I can assure you that 80% of the cases that we do,
yeah,
the Immigration Department are meeting their performance pledges, and even the other 20% where ostensibly they're not, they really have a good reason for them not meeting them, and you find that they will turn around things very quickly once you're getting sort of outside the envelope of normal approval times.
What does that actually
mean? They're
very
efficient, Phil.
Performance pledge. What does that actually mean?
It basically means that they're going to turn around cases, make decisions on cases within the timelines that they publicly state.
Yeah. Does that help Joe Punter?
Yeah, very much so, because what it does is it says, okay, you submit your application, we'll process the initial part of the application, we'll do an assessment to see if we've got everything that we need to be able to make a decision. If we don't have everything that we need, we'll come back to you and we'll ask you to provide this additional information, and we'll give you a timeline within which to provide it. And then once we've got all the information within our remit, we will finalise the application within the timelines that we state. And for an employment visa, that is 4 weeks.
Okay.
For a dependent visa, it's typically 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And for an investment visa, whether we like it or not, you get into a 4 week consideration time frame once all the documents have been in hand, but the experience is it's a 4 to 6 month process.
Well, that kind of stands to reason, because it's about money.
It is, and it's quite complex.
So, glancing through your Hong Kong Visa Geezer website, one question somebody wrote into you, which I'm going to read from. Now, this is one of those ones that could short circuit the boys. Because it says here, a friend of mine is looking into the idea of residing in Hong Kong. He's a soon-to-be traditionally published author in the United States, and he's based in another country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's author, it's art, it's culture.
Yeah.
Doesn't compute.
Right. Quality Migrant Admission Scheme is the only program that you might potentially get status under, but I think it's a big ask, frankly, given the way that this program has been administered in the past. I'm not a great fan of the Quality Migrant Admission Scheme.
Remind us about it, would you?
Well, basically, you know, you've got to be a top-notch talent, and you can come in on one of two ways. You can come in on the general points test, or you can come in on the achievements test. If you are a Nobel Prize winner, if you have won a gold medal in the Olympics, if you're a concert virtuoso, whatever, you can claim 165 slam dunk achievements-based points, and effectively you're in, you're home and host. The rest of the world, near mortals,
so superficial, though,
have to apply under the general points test, okay, where it's a minimum of 80 and a maximum of 165. If you get through the minimum must meet criteria and get the 80 points, you then get put into a selection pool.
Okay.
And once you're in the selection pool, you then get ranked by the number of points that you've got, and then get further ranked into the various industry sectors that they've allocated to the general points test. So you fall within an industry sector, and then the selection committee meet usually 10 to 12 months after you've submitted your first application, and then they decide whether you're in or whether you're out. But you've got absolutely no idea what that consideration exercise is all about. You don't know who you're competing against. In many ways, you don't even know who's on the selection committee. So they've got some, you know, esteemed peers of Hong Kong today making the decisions of these particular
talents.
The same
guys that are on every committee in Hong Kong.
Phil, your guess is as good as mine. But anyway, what you're left with is this ridiculous situation, in my view, a ridiculous situation, where you have all of these really, really qualified, talented people that are setting their lives, in a sense, setting themselves up for the possibility of a life in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take, you know, 10 to 12 months to be determined. And at the end of those 12 months, you may not get in. In fact, there's a very low chance that you're not going to get in. In fact, a 23% chance of getting in if you're not a mainlander, because 77% of all approvals go to mainlanders. And we're talking about mainlanders again, Phil, and I realize
but
you
this is a
to do that.
But Steve, you're not somebody to speculate. I'm sure you're telling me hard fact.
Yeah, it is. So 77% of all approvals come from mainlanders. But guess what? Only 27% of all applications that get submitted ever go on to get approved.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter where you come from.
You know, there may be a dozen foreign nationals who aren't mainland Chinese that are getting approved in this program each year. That's it.
Remind us what it's called again. Quality?
Quality Migrant Admission Scheme. Or I say, quick, make another selection.
Yes. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to positively tell me how one might fix that in just a second. Obviously, there's probably a couple of steps that are missing that could make it a bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah? But the whole notion of quality migrant, top pianist, top this, top that, as I said, isn't it kind of superficial? What does Hong Kong need with these people other than to show off?
Well, the idea is that you're going to diversify the labour pool, right? That you're
going to
say to people, look, you can come to Hong Kong if you're really, really special, and we don't care what it is you want to do when you get here. We just want you. So that's what this is all about.
Totally.
Right.
It's just a bit nuts when you've got people who really want to come here and they haven't got a hope in hell.
Yeah, but then again, a little bit of creativity as to the various immigration, you know, schemes that exist, the various programs that you might be able to participate in. It just depends. I mean, every case is different. But, you know, in the main, it works. You know, I can't complain too much. It generally works.
What do you know about the people who have come here under this scheme? Have we heard hide nor hair of them since? Do they actually live here?
Yeah, they do. I mean, there's I've got three or four clients that have come in under the program, and they're making their contribution, and they're living where they want to live.
That's the cool thing, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. And you know, there's a video on our website that we culled from the immigration department's website that interviews half a dozen of these successful quality migrant admission.
Yeah. Admittance. Does the interview go, good afternoon, welcome to the China Club, thank you, you're in? Steve, we've got to leave it there. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Steve Barnes is the Hong Kong visa geezer, and I'm sure he'll be back to visit us next month.